Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Man, I hope you're having a great day. You're getting ready for a great weekend. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers Insurance. They know a thing or two about how to save a buck or two when you bundle home and auto. So visit farmers.com or call 1-800-FARMERS and get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Some might say this weekend is about Aaron Rodgers. The Seahawks are depleted. They played last week. The Packers are healthy. And they're at home. There's so much snow in Green Bay that they've put out an APB for anyone with a shovel to come and help shovel snow. This is a quick aside. The Green Bay Packers are kind of a sad organization. Not sad in the traditional sense, but it is a little bit sad that they've done this thing to the locals time and again. You know, the Green Bay Packers are owned by Packer fans. Yeah, you give a couple $100, you get a certificate, and on your own dime, you can fly in and go to one of these meetings once a year. Doesn't help you get season tickets. You never get dividends. You win a Super Bowl, you don't get a ring. This is essentially walking into a party and somebody says, "We're going on a beer run." You give them a fiver. They go out and get a couple cases of beer. They bring it back and you're like, "Hey, can I get one?" They're like, "No." But I'll tell you what you can do. Tell everybody you're at this party. Here's a certificate. So, of course, though they're making money hand over fist, even though they're in the smallest market in all of Major League Professional Sports, they actually put out an APB for people to come in and volunteer their time in the cold and shovel the snow. This really happens in America. And guess what else? Packer fans really do it. I don't think they get paid. I think you'd have to look it up. I think this is a volunteer deal. Anyway, some might say this weekend's about Aaron Rodgers. Sure, he could win another Super Bowl, but he's already won one, and this weekend doesn't win him a Super Bowl. It would simply have him beat Russell Wilson, his own personal rival, who he doesn't like, who he lost to in the playoffs. He lost in that, remember that crazy Monday Night Football game which ended the lockout and strike of the referees? It's his rival. It's his nemesis. Aaron Rodgers needs to win this weekend, but it's not like it destroys his career. What about Jimmy G? Number one seed in the NFC. You know, taking on Kirk Cousins. And when things go wrong with the offense, when things go wrong with the offense of the Niners, people don't point out Kyle Shanahan because Kyle Shanahan's an offensive wizard. The problems become that of Garoppolo. But Garoppolo's in his first playoff appearance. Many have failed in their first playoff appearance, even at home. And as much as we like to think of them as dominant based upon their record, look, if the Seahawks had any clue what they were doing late in week 17, they're the 2 seed in the playoffs. What about Russell Wilson? Similar to Rodgers, I guess it would say something about his legacy. But they're down to what would be their 4th running back. They just got Marshawn Lynch off the couch. Their wide receiving core has never been impressive, especially without its top threat who's out for the year. They're on the road in Green Bay. They're depleted. They played last week. Everybody still thinks Russell Wilson's a wizard. Then there are the Chiefs. Pat Mahomes didn't play great last year, but played good enough to win. But Mahomes is going to sign the biggest contract in the history of the sport. What about the Chiefs and Andy Reid? Last 3 years in a row, they've lost at home in the playoffs. And, of course, the year before that, was the biggest collapse in the history of the AFC when they had a 31-point lead in Indy and succumbed to the Colts. Pat Mahomes is going to sign for $40 million. A year. Not total, a year. He is going to literally break the bank. But you have arguably the best home crowd in all of professional sports. That's what Kansas City is. Unbelievable home field advantage. You have weather that plays in your factor, into your hands. Remember, Pat Mahomes, in his one snow game earlier this year, played great, and there's that audio of him saying, I think I'm a snow game quarterback. Speed generally is adversely affecting the defensive side by snow more so than the offense, and nobody has more offensive speed than the Kansas City Chiefs. You have the best quarterback with the best arm playing at home against a team that played last week with a great crowd and great talent and a coach and coaching staff who's well-respected, but this has been their MO in Kansas City, losing early. What if I told you that this week's pressure was mostly on Andy Reid? Right? The most amount of pressure is on Andy Reid. Now, it doesn't mean that he gets to go out and throw footballs or play quarterback like he did in the punt, pass, and kick video where he looks like the Jolly Green Giant or the Jolly Rams Giant. But here's a guy who's been accused several times over of getting a lead in a playoff game and getting super conservative. And you have this unbelievable weapon, right? Like the Pat Mahomes, the type of weapon that the new empire seems to have in the new Star Wars. Oops, was that a spoiler alert? Like, look, if you're into Star Wars, you've already seen it. Let's just be honest. There's not anybody out there like, I'm super into Star Wars. When's it come out? Right, we're like on 3 or 4 weeks now. Like, if you haven't seen it, doesn't mean you're not going to go see it, but please don't tell me you're into Star Wars. You have an unreal weapon playing at home. You lost last year in an offside call, which is a good call, but it was, you detonated yourself a little bit. Your defense is improved. You're not taking on a great team, right? Name-wise, they have great quarterback, great wide receiver, great defensive player. The reality is Houston could have been beaten at home last week by the Bills. It was that close. There is no reason at all that Kansas City should be challenged in this game, with the exception of Andy Reid doing what Andy Reid does, which is get a lead and then get super tight and allow yourself the opportunity to be beaten, which the last 3 years has happened at home and 4 years in a row, including when they had the 31-point lead in Indy in 2014. Andy Reid could become Marty Schottenheimer. I know he went to a Super Bowl once. Or, I mean, at some point, could he become Mark Jackson, where you're like, look, great to a point. Great to a point. We need somebody else to get over that hump. The Patriots aren't involved. The Ravens are a team you've already beaten. The Texans, though, a team you've lost to. Now you're at full health and they are not. Andy Reid has an elite quarterback. And remember, when Andrew Luck was in Indy, what did Jim Irsay, their owner, say about Andrew Luck? We don't want to screw it up and only win one Super Bowl. You have a quarterback that's this talent. First, you got to get to a Super Bowl, but then the idea is we got to get to multiple Super Bowls. He's that good. He is that good. And I don't think the pressure is on Mahomes because of his age. I think the pressure is squarely on Andy Reid because of his experience and because most of that experience is bad in the playoffs, especially in Kansas City.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Barry Sanders joins us now. He is, I think, inarguably the greatest running back of all time, not just because we share an alma mater, but because I thought that when I was a kid, kind of to spend some time with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Barry, it felt like over the last 5 years, there has been kind of a minimalization of the running back position financially and maybe in game plans. That seems to have changed. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that running the football is so much more in vogue now as it was over the past couple of years?
Doug, great talking to you. You know, I always thought that things would move in cycles. And when they started changing the rules to protect the quarterback, obviously that helped the passing game immensely. And I always knew running backs would adjust. You know, and even then, when the league was being passed crazy, you still saw guys like Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Peterson putting up, you know, respectable numbers. You know, but yeah, I just think that a good solid running game, obviously, you know, that's always been a hallmark of good teams throughout the history of the game. You know, and good teams in our time are learning that and using that on game day. And so, you know, I think that's kind of what it has to do with.
Yeah, I would say some of it, and you tell me because your football IQ is off the charts in comparison to mine. Some of it is these defenses are designed. You know, a lot of people were playing a ton of nickel, and even the linebackers, it's more about speed in terms than run stopping. And in other words, when the defenses started to zig, the offenses started to zag. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also think, you know, along with that point, you know, you kind of playing into the defense's hands a lot of times when you drop back and pass a ton of times. I think just mentally, psychologically, the guys, they would much rather pass, defend, and rush the passer than have to defend the run, than have to defend a really good, solid run team. Coming off the ball, you know, coming downhill, looking you in the eye, saying we're going to hit you, you know, square in the mouth. I think defense would much rather pin their ears back, chase the quarterback.
Barry Sanders joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. When we watch highlights of you make plays, you embarrass defensive players, right? There's guys that are diving at your feet, and between the jump cuts and the spins, there's some moments which now they would have gone viral. That's the kind of stuff we see from Lamar Jackson, right? Obviously a different position, but it's the same type of elusiveness as well as speed and explosiveness. When you're in the process, when you're making those runs, when you're making those cuts, do you see the guys falling? Like, are you watching it like in slow motion? Like, damn, I just got a guy. Or is it, or are you too focused on trying to get to the end zone and not get hit?
Well, in my case, I feel like it's the latter. I was much more just focused because no matter what you do, when you got the ball in your hand, there's another guy coming. You know, there's another guy coming to get you in. And, you know, it was always a fun challenge for me because, you know, I was one of the smallest guys on the field, but I was like the biggest target, you know. And so I always felt like I had to be aware just focused and understanding that, you know, for those four quarters, they were coming to get me, and I had to do what I could to I could almost say survive, you know. But it was nothing I loved more than running the football. Growing up, being a football fan and watching all the great running backs play this game, that just inspired me. Whether it's pro or college running backs that I followed and tried to imitate. Fortunately, as I got older, I was able to do a pretty good imitation of some of my favorite running backs.
Who are you imitating? Gale Sayers?
Well, Gale's a little before me. Now you're trying to call me, you know, now you're trying to call me really, really old.
You said like growing up. So I'm thinking growing up, this is 19.
I grew up in the 70s.
Okay.
I grew up in the 70s.
Okay.
So and my dad was a huge Oklahoma Sooner fan.
Okay.
So I watched all the great OU Sooner running backs. Think of the early 70s. Think of guys like Terry Metcalf. Think of obviously Walter Payton. OJ was there. Think of Tony Dorsett. Mm-hmm. Think of guys like Joe Delaney. I mean, all these, you know, and so Joe Washington. Greg Pruitts. I mean, you know, the list goes on. But I just love watching running back. You know, think about all the great USC running backs, Marcus Allen, Charles White, Anthony Davis. So for me, just watching, it was a thing of beauty watching running backs play. And you know, Marcus Allen was just one of my favorites. You know, that was my sort of formative years of watching football, middle school, high school, and seeing Marcus run for 2,000 yards. Anyway, that's kind of what I'm referring to.
No, I mean, Marcus, and who can forget, you know, the run against the Redskins, obviously.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
absolutely.
Probably the most
in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe the most iconic run in the Super Bowl. I'm trying to think. You know, I got 50 years to choose from, but that's my childhood growing up in Southern California. Barry Sanders, our guest,
against the Redskins team that they were supposed to not have a chance against. You know, but I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, of course.
The Redskins team was invincible. They you know, the Raiders had no chance supposedly, and for him to make that run, you know, was just brought me out of my seat. And I'm with you, man. That's one of my favorite memories ever of NFL football.
Derrick Henry is 6'3", 240 pounds. Now, as you said, you're one of the smallest guys with the biggest target. You know, you're in the 5'9 sort of category, right? In 200 or, you know, 200.
I'll take 5'9.
All right, appreciate fair. I'll give you 5'9. That's right. I'm 6'1 if you're 5'9. Then we're good. So you're 5'9". He's 6'3", 240-some-odd pounds. There is no – he is the antithesis of you as a running back. But when you see Derrick Henry and what he's doing in the modern-day NFL, what do you think?
Well, just hats off to Derrick, you know, the Titans for going in and beating the champions, first off. That was a great game. And I think it's just as big of a deal as for me, you know, had it been Drew Brees going in and beating Tom Brady. That was you know, Derrick Henry beating Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But, Derrick, wow, just a phenomenal year to see how he's progressed every year. To see him this year lead the league in rushing, you know, just phenomenal, man. And you'd love to see running backs come on like that, get better every year, kind of figure the game out, you know, and you know, that team is riding on his shoulders. And, you know, again, the phenomenal game he had last weekend, putting them one step closer to the Super Bowl. And, you know, they've been riding all year. I mean, and it's a great team, obviously, but no, I'm happy to see that and really thrilled as a running back.
Barry Sanders joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox on Fox Sports Radio. Tom Brady doesn't seem like he wants to walk away. Now, obviously, the position's different. Where he is in his career is different. People forget that you not only walked away, but you walked away. You would have been the all-time rushing leader had you played probably another season and a half, and you walked away. What is that like to walk away? How, I mean, take me through the process then and how it feels now in terms of saying I'm okay if my football career ends today.
Well, Doug, it was a tough decision. And I was torn. I was really torn, but I knew that just that drive to continue to play, that fire, that really where I had to play, you know, I knew that was gone and after year 10. And so I don't think I would have gotten there had I not had the career that I had. You know, I mean, there was nothing left to do other than playing the Super Bowl, which that would have been great. But I knew for me, and it's a very personal decision, and it was a difficult decision. And one that, you know, I just knew that, man, it was just really, really, something that I went back and forth on, but I just something I understood. Okay. It's time to go. You know, I had my fun.
His decision is like the opposite of yours, kind of, right? Your decision was made a little bit easier because the organization you played for just couldn't put a good enough team around you. Right. So as good at, no matter how good you were, there was always the shortcomings of the Honolulu Blue, right? It just was. Whereas for Brady, you know, no matter his shortcomings, no matter how he, they still, that organization finds the way to allow him to be competitive and maybe the division to get in the playoffs. So there are some kind of opposites, not just in terms of what he's been able to achieve by getting to the Super Bowl, but also the organizational support. And that does change your decision, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I wasn't coming off any Super Bowl victories. We didn't have any Super Bowl opportunities in the foreseeable future. For Tom, you know, I would think that they could come to some sort of terms. If those three men could get in the room and figure something out. If he still wants to play, he may not be in his prime, but he's certainly not a liability in my eyes. You know, I haven't analyzed it that closely, but I would think that it's still worth it for him to be out there, and at least for another year or two, unless they know something I don't. You know, because he's still such an asset to the game and such an asset to his team. I mean, can you imagine just the influence he has on his teammates and fellow offensive players and the way he goes about his business? It's just too much of a benefit to have him around. So I'm assuming that they'll figure something out. They just got to work out the details, you know, but, you know, that's just kind of my perspective.
Barry Sanders joining us on behalf of Rocket Mortgage and their free Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes, the greatest running back of all time. Barry, so tell me how I get involved in these sweepstakes.
Doug, you can go to rocketmortgagesquares.com. Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. Basically, you got a chance to win $50,000. Every time the score changes during the game. I mean, how amazing is that? So we're hoping for a high-scoring game, you know, but $50,000 can go toward, a new home, you know, what have you. Rocket Mortgage will walk you through that. Two lucky winners will win $500,000 as well. You know, so it's the largest, the world's biggest Super Bowl squares. Again, you can go to rocketmortgagesquares.com, rocketmortgagesquares.com. Learn more about it. You don't have to know anything about the game. It's free to enter. That's like one of the best parts about it. It's free to enter. So it's going to be a great Super Bowl. We're hoping for a lot of points. Like I said before, every time the score changes, a lucky winner can potentially win $50,000, as well as two winners will win $500,000. So rocketmortgagesquares.com is where you can learn more about that.
Are we going to see you down in Miami?
I'll be there, absolutely.
So will we. Can't wait to see it. Barry, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the football this weekend, and really love your perspective. Thanks for catching up.
Hey, Doug, thanks for having me, man.
That's Barry Sanders, the greatest running back that has ever lived.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
I feel like I haven't talked to John Middlecoff in a long time, like a year. See what I did there? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. John Middlecoff, 3 Now Podcast. It's outstanding. Not as outstanding as mine. Dwayne Broussard is my guest this week. Great story. Assistant coach at TCU. You can download that. That's the All Ball podcast on the Herd Podcast Network. We're on the podcast family. I'm kidding, Middlecoff, about yours. All right, I want you to hypothesize, why do you think Josh McDaniels brought his wife to the meetings?
That's a hell of a question. I mean, why would you bring your wife to any situation? I mean, you have to be somewhat serious about it, right? You know, I think... Is it there also an image issue with him?
Right.
You know, he did spurn Indy a couple years ago. I saw one of the Patriot guys was tweeting about, you know, the Trace Armstrong also represents Rule, and Josh felt like he wasn't in the loop on what happened. Well, Josh, you were the apple of everyone's eye the last couple years before that Indy situation happened. You were clearly the top candidate, even above Kyle Shanahan. He's proven that you'd rather have Kyle Shanahan at this point. I don't think that's a debate. And you screwed it up. You know, it wasn't just you turned them down. Remember, they had hired assistant coaches. Now, it turns out that Eberflus, the guy they hired from Dallas, who's pretty good, you know, so Josh was on the right guy, but that's not normal. And I think there's still somewhat of a, maybe not like the next year, the stench on Josh, but that was a bizarre situation. And he already kind of has a bizarre just resume from what happened in Denver, and now you could argue that Cleveland's about as bizarre and weird as it gets, so maybe they're a match made in heaven. But, you know, maybe he wants his wife. You know, I mean, I'm not married, but you've been a long-time married guy, right? So you trust your wife's like your partner in life. So if you were kind of thinking, maybe I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns job, if you rely on her for a lot of things that you do in life, wouldn't you want her around for that type of situation? Because this guy clearly struggles with pulling this trigger of getting back to become a head coach.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm going to guess that's actually another great hypothesis, right? That he can't make the decision and he needs her to push him over the edge, if you will, carry him over the threshold, the old marital expression. I thought it was the image thing. I thought it was the, hey, I'm really serious. And it throws her under the bus a little bit where, you know, hey, last time around,
How about this one, Doug? Have you noticed that on, like, when they fired Freddie Kitchens, it didn't just say Jimmy Haslam, it said Jimmy D. Haslam?
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe you want your wife around to be around D, because she clearly takes a pretty big role in that organization. I remember that article that Wickersham wrote, like, she's around. I mean, so maybe you want her, your wife, to kind of sniff out D and see what's going on there.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Do you think he gets it and takes it?
That's a hell of a question. You know, given that he can probably bring his own general manager, given that Dorsey was fired, it has to be pretty interesting. There was a lot of smoke. It's hard to ever know with the Patriots what's real and not, that they really like Baker Mayfield. If they really like Baker Mayfield, that probably meant that Josh McDaniels really liked Baker Mayfield.
Right.
So I get that last year was a disaster, but, you know, it's not that far removed from him coming out in the draft, you know, 18 or 19 months ago or whatever it is. So you have to think, if he really liked Baker Mayfield 2 years ago, it would have to be intriguing, right? Just quarterback's most important. He's an offensive guy. You would at least have a serious conversation if you like a quarterback.
John Middlecoff joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Joe Judge and Matt Rhule both had the fire and brimstone. That generally doesn't win you games. It doesn't help you in recruiting because there is no recruiting in the National Football League. But what do you think of the hires?
Well, I know nothing about Joe Judge. Like most people, I was like, who? And then I text around people that have been around him, people that are around him now, and they love him. Now, but usually that's when guys get jobs, they're going to be highly thought of. My thing was, you know, he's an intense Philly guy that plays in the Northeast. I saw you tweeting about it. He clearly kind of owns the room in terms of the right message for that city. My question, though, is when you're a younger guy in your 30s, he's 37 years old, and he's talking about, like, Junction Boys lining up doing the Oklahoma drill. When you look at the younger guys recently that have had success, now, I get it, their personalities might be different, but that's not really their tactic. You know, it's easy to kind of be, you know, breathing fire and hitting in practice when you're Ron Rivera and you're older and you have some pelts on the wall. I think it's a little more difficult when you're a younger guy. And I'm not saying, like, I'm all for establishing physicality and even hitting in practice, but talking about we're going to wear pads, well, there's rules, so you can only wear pads so many days. It's not like Belichick and Andy Reid don't like wearing pads. I mean, there's only so much you can do. But you got to be – I think there's a tactic you can take with it. To me, Doug, he sounded a little like Mangini. You know, he'd only been around – and it's a good thing. He's only been around Saban and Belichick, and those are the two of the best. Arguably two of the best ever, best college coach, best NFL coach ever, you could make the argument. And that's all this guy knows, and that's a good thing. But, you know, if that's all you know and you try to replicate that, we've kind of proven, right, especially with Bill, it doesn't really work. So I don't know. It was an impressive, like, I like his message. I think it's just difficult when you're in your 30s to do it.
Tend to agree with you. This is Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of John Middlecoff. Okay, let's get to the actual games. Last time we saw Dean Pease against Greg Roman, it was the Super Bowl, and Greg Roman's offense really struggled in the first half, and then the second half, they came back and for whatever reason ran a fade pattern to win the game after the lights went out in New Orleans, and the Ravens won the Super Bowl. Now Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, he's matching up with the Ravens. Does he have the personnel to match up with Lamar?
Well, to me, to match up with Lamar, you got to have big-time speed and playmakers, a linebacker. And that guy, Evans from Alabama, that was all over the place against the New England Patriots last week and really become a really good player, you need a guy like that against Lamar Jackson because no one's really been able to corral him. And if you let him just kind of run free, and unlike the Kaepernick, you know, in the Roman offense, Kaepernick couldn't make you miss. The hole had to be there. And like you said, Dean Pease, but it wasn't just, they had Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, they were so smart. So that was going to be a tough team to run that against. Even if you know it's coming with Lamar, he's like Barry Sanders. So you have to have guys that can chase him, that can break down in space, you know, have good linebackers in terms of change of direction. And it seems like a lot of guys have struggled with that over this season.
You know, he had on earlier today?
Who's that?
Barry Sanders.
I mean, doesn't Lamar have some Barry Sanders? That's a hell of a guess,
yes.
By the way.
Yes.
I mean, it's just.
And you know what I asked? You know what I asked him? I asked him if, you know, when, because both of them make guys fall down.
Yeah.
Right? It looks like some like grade school stuff where guys are literally tearing their ACLs trying to. And I was like, did you see it happening like in slow motion? Like, oh, shoot. Only he didn't say shoot, right? Or are you kind of like too focused on the next guy? He's like, I was just focused on not getting hit. But they do. They have that same different style, right? Barry Sanders with the jump cut. But still, the ability to make great players look like complete, for lack of a better term, slugs. Slugs.
The offense is different than last year. But yeah, I remember talking to you about it when the Chargers played Lamar Jackson. They put all the DBs on the field and they made him throw. Now, their running game so dominant that they're never in that often third and long situations. But typically in the playoffs, right, in the second half, games are tight and it's third and eight and can he beat you? And that's still, to me, a question. They're just never in that situation. To me, that I would do whatever it takes to get Lamar Jackson to second and third and long. And clearly that means selling out on the run. If that's putting 9-10 guys in the box, because they, unlike the Patriots, remember when they played earlier this year, you're like, oh, Belichick always takes out your best player. That's true, but he doesn't have the athletes in his front seven to really corral Lamar, where the Titans do. I mean, they have really athletic front, and their linebackers can run. So I would imagine they're going to come up with a game plan. Under no circumstances can Lamar beat us in the run game. And we'll just take our chances then in the passing game. That to me, and that, now it's easier said than done. I would imagine most coordinators have had that thought. But this is the playoffs. I would put all my chips in the middle of the table on just stopping the run.
Chris Jones and Travis Kelce are both questionable. This game is at home. Chiefs have lost the last three years at home. And one of the teams they've lost this year at home to is the Houston Texans. I think the most pressure of anybody this weekend is on Andy Reid. Like, how many times are we going to see this team? And, you know, everybody loves Mahomes. He's going to get $40 million. Are they in any danger?
Well, I hadn't seen that Travis Kelce has been hurt, but that would be, remember a couple years ago when they were playing the Titans in the first round and he got knocked out and then it just ruined their team and they ended up losing that game. I guess it's a little different if you know going into the game that a guy might not play, but Kelce's a major, like, Tyreek Hill opens everything up on the outside and then just allows Kelce to eat over the middle. And he, obviously, with his speed and ability, is just an uncoverable player. I mean, those two guys combining with Mahomes are just basically like Steph, Clay, and Kevin Durant of the NFL. They're unstoppable when they're on. And Chris Jones, not just Chris Jones, but that defense has been pretty dominant down the stretch. They have been really good. And they lost their starting safety that plays next to Honey Badger, Thornhill, towards ACL, I think the second to last week of the season. And if Chris Jones can't, that's pretty big blows for a defense that had been rolling. So if those two guys are out, then I would look at this game completely different and say the Houston Texans have a shot.
But otherwise?
They should not, no. I think the Houston Texans are, talk about a basketball team. I mean, they got two guys. It's Hopkins and it's Deshaun Watson, and it's just keep your fingers crossed they can bail you out. And if they can't, which they do a lot, but it gets a lot more difficult. Like, They were getting thoroughly outplayed last week. Yeah. And the Bills are a solid team, but they were getting their butt kicked. And that was at home. So you're going to go on the road outside in a cold environment, Arrowhead rocking. Now that Kelce Jones, I mean, those are, besides like Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, those are top five players on the team. So that would be a swing, you know, kind of ordeal for them.
Seattle taking on Green Bay. A lot of people on Seattle in this game because you feel like every Seattle game is the same. Russell Wilson running around trying to make a play late. I'm not in love with the Seattle team. I know they've won a bunch of road games, but they got Philly and got very fortunate Carson Wentz got hurt. But they're a shell of themselves in running the football. Now they got to throw it. That's not really their strength. And I think that is the strength of this Packer defense, which is if you throw it, we got the Smith boys to pin our ears back. I like the Pack big. Am I crazy?
Yeah, I don't know if I like the Pack big, but I definitely like the Pack. When you think about last week, turns out Josh McCown had a torn hamstring.
Yeah.
And
off Josh the bone.
Yeah. 40 years old, Josh McCown, torn hamstring, and that game was a game. Now, you could argue, like you said, Seattle, whether they're playing the 85 Bears or they're playing the, you know, the winless Cleveland Browns of 2 years ago, their games are going to look similar. That's where it's just like, how often do they get blown out? I mean, truly just get their butt whooped. I think, you know, the Saints did it this year when they went up to Seattle with Teddy Bridgewater and they kind of rolled them.
2 years ago, the Rams came in and kicked the living crap out of them. Remember that
one? Yeah, just, it doesn't happen that much. Sure. But I thought all season, like, God, they if they ended up, because at one point in time, I mean, hell, they were an inch away from winning the division. Like, they were not a very good team. They have an elite player. But I don't love their roster, especially given their injuries. Now, you saw last week, Clowney's not big on, like, 10 a.m. kickoffs against Cleveland. He'll just go through the motions. But you put on a primetime game, Clowney, or a playoff game, Clowney brings it. And Clowney was flying around last week. So if they get good effort from him and Russ, it just, you know, I would probably take the Packers. I was at lines 4.5. They should be able to cover that. But Seattle's just such a bizarre team. You know, they just do, their games are just weird. You know, crazy things consistently happen. Definitely when these two teams play. And I don't actually, while the Packers definitely have better players, their defense is actually really good. Za'Darius Smith's been unreal. I just, they to me have been pretty average most of the season, despite winning. It's weird to say. I mean, they did win 13 games, but let's look at the last week. I mean, the Lions were kind of kicking their butt, and Rodgers was off, and they just, their offense really hasn't clicked the second half of the season.
All right, I was going to ask you about San Francisco, but this is a better one. If you were New England, would you let Tom Brady walk?
I mean, it feels
like he's a power play for a multi-year deal, and he hasn't been. He's not the same guy. And do they need more help? Yes, but I mean, whatever he was this year, he's going to be worse next year. And then, like, what, I got to pay him for 2 years? Why? Because he's Tom Brady? Like, I don't know.
If it's like 260 fully guaranteed, or I'm out. You know, something like that. I, you know what Belichick's answer would be. I think it's 100% no. And he's 40. He's going to be 43 years old. I love Tom Brady. Who doesn't? I mean, he's the greatest player ever. But he's 43 years old. I mean, that's insanity. And now, I actually didn't think he looked that bad last week. But the counter, though, Doug, is like, who's playing quarterback for him? I know they got Stidham on the roster, but he's a mid-round pick, and he's never been great. If Josh leaves, that means you're implementing potentially a new offense, or definitely a new offensive coordinator. So maybe Tom would want to leave no matter what if Josh left. Do they draft a guy? They're not drafting that high. So many teams need a quarterback. Who are they going to sign? Like Rivers, Dalton, Bill wouldn't sign Cam. Like, your options are kind of Mariota. You know, what do you do? Now, Bill might just be like, we'll figure it out.
That's, I think you do Dalton. Everybody says Dalton for a year or two. You have Dalton and then draft one. Or develop one.
Yeah, and maybe they really like the guy. I mean, once upon a time, no one knew who Tom Brady was, right? And forever, they knew what they had in Jimmy Garoppolo, and it wasn't until Brady got suspended that everyone was like, damn, this guy's pretty darn good. So, yeah, I just don't even think Belichick thinks of it like a fan. He was like, well, yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right, well actually, I'm going one more. I don't care. Are you sold on Cousins now?
No. Not at all. But you give him credit. I mean, he made the throw when he had to make the throw.
But he had three drives when they're up 20-10 that they did nothing.
And remember the one pass where he skipped it.
Yep.
I'm going to the game tomorrow. If Cousins wins this, if the Vikings are able to win, which they have elite talent at a lot of different places, we know the formula. It's run Dalvin Cook, rush for about 150 yards. The defense dominates, and Cousins does not turn the ball over. It's not Cousins carrying you. I mean, that's just, he's not him playing like Russell Wilson or Peak Rodgers. When they win, he looks just like a game manager. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Alex Smith won a lot of games as a game manager. They get in trouble, and everyone in the NFL will tell you this, and any fan that watches him knows this. When he has to put him on his back and throw 40-plus times in a game where they're down against good teams, like the one he's facing tomorrow, they have no chance. Now, if they run the ball and those defensive ends get to tee off because they have a lead, the Vikings can beat anybody because their coach is really good. But when he has to do it, to me, he's just not talented enough, and then his personality gets a little tight.
No question about it. Your personality is never tight. We appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the game. Don't get thrown out. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Duggar. Have a good one.
All right, that's John Middlecoff.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.
And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Since last week I was 3-1, I'm going to get back after, continue the streak of excellence in the NFL. Remember, 3-1 last week's picks, 3-1, 53-38 overall. So we're in the money, 58% winners. Let's get to our picks.
I want winners.
Well, we got them.
Touchdown!
Five NFL, five college.
Five on three. One, two, three.
Five. It's five for five with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, five.
Let's start with the Packers, who many people think are on, what is it that they always say? Upset alert. Really? Packers are healthy. They're 5-3 at home against the spread this season. But they got Devontae Adams back, right? Which changes who they are in the red zone. They're already great in the red zone. Look, how about this one? The Packers are fourth in rushing. Fourth. Going against a Seattle defense that's 26th against the run. What do you think they're going to do? By the way, the Packers defense finished up giving only 19 points per game, eighth in red zone defense. And if you wanted to say, hey, the teams that beat them, Chargers, Niners, you know, those teams, they ran the football. That's fair. Remember, Seattle, who was third in rushing in the league, lost their top three running backs. Seattle is not who their numbers tell you they are. The Packers are. Packers also have Aaron Rodgers. They're not incompetent at quarterback. So and we don't have a sense for the Seahawks. Russell Wilson's fantastic, but his overall roster is not. I think this is a mismatch. In the cold, in the snow, give me the Pack, and I'll lay the points. Vikings taking on the Niners. Niners are only 3-4-1 at home this season against the spread. So not as dominant as you would think. Jimmy G will be starting his first playoff game ever. Remember, to start the season, the Niners were considered maybe the NFL's best defense. That was because they were playing against a really soft schedule. Since week 13, they've given up 29 points per game. On the other side, the Vikings defense is second in the red zone and sixth in points per game. Last week's overtime win against the Saints on the road, they put to bed that whole Kirk Cousins can't win the big game thing. They're still going to run it. Adam Thielen's going to play even with whatever that weird cut is in his ankle. And their defense is nasty. Nasty. So they're kind of mirror image of each other. I'm not saying Niners don't have to lose this game. But 7 points, especially if you can get seven in a hook, give me the Vikings. Ravens are 10-5-1 overall, second best in the NFL against the spread this season. There's no other way to put it. The Ravens have been statistically the best offense in the National Football League. Number one in points per game, number two in yards, number one in rushing, second on third down and in the red zone, number one on time per drive. Do I think that if he got 2 weeks, Dean Pease could design a scheme to slow down the Ravens? Yes. You know what he didn't have? 2 weeks. He barely had a full week. They play on a Saturday. The defense for the Ravens separated themselves in the red zone, third in points per game and in the red zone, sixth in turnover margin. I like the Ryan Tannehill story, but when he did throw last week, he threw one of the worst picks I've seen in playoff history. Derrick Henry's a monster. But this Ravens team's actually good against the run. What they don't do is they don't pressure you against the pass. That doesn't matter as much against this Tennessee Titans team. I think the Ravens get out big early and don't look back. Ravens and the points. The Texans are 5-2-1 on the road against the spread this year. They're top 10 on offense in the following categories: red zone, third down, time possession, points per drive. Chiefs are defense's 30th in time per drive on defense. On offense, Kansas City is 23rd in rushing, averaging only 100 yards a game. Under 100 yards a game. What does that mean? The game plan is pretty simple. Play keep away from Pat Mahomes. That's what Brady tried to do last year. That's what teams have done, including the Texans earlier this year. Do I think they need Will Fuller? Sure, to win the game. But it's a 10-point line as I'm looking at it right now. I will take Houston and the points. So, two underdogs, Vikes, Texans, two favorites, Packers, Ravens.
five on three. One, two, three.
There it is. Five NFL.
Let's go, five.
Five college. Five for five with Doug Gottlieb.
Boom!